Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. It's good to see y'all and glad you're here. I want to share some scripture today. I'll try to not, since you were so nice to come on a holiday weekend, I'll try to not punish you for coming. How about that? Huh? And you ever go to a service and they start punishing you for all the ones that didn't come? Anyway, come on, get with me. I'm trying to get loosened up here. I want to read you some three verses out of Psalms chapter 40. I shared these verses with a real close friend of mine this past week, and these verses about 18 years ago or so. I was in the worst pit of my life. And God gave me these three verses, and I don't know, they've just been a blessing to me ever since. And so I just wanted to talk a little bit today. When I revisited these verses and gave them to my dear friend, I've just been reading them all week and thinking about them. And just simply says this. It's talking about faith in the middle of a trial. Anybody here ever have a trial? Anybody here ever been on trial? Oh, got more hands for that one. All right. We better leave that one alone, man. But says verses 1 through 3, Psalms chapter 40, says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. And He established my steps. He put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. And many will see it and fear, and will trust in the Lord. Holy Spirit, just lead me and guide me for a few minutes here. And I don't know, anybody here ever just really been in a pit? You know, I mean, how many know there's pits and then there's horrible pits? And how many ever been in a pit later to find out that down the line that was just a pit, but there was some horrible pits out there? And I don't know what you might be going through or what you might face or what you've been through or what you might even face this coming week. But these verses were a comfort to me, and I just want to be a comfort to you. And if you are down, if you are swinging and seem to be, stuff's deck seems to be stacked against you sometimes. Well, you know, I just want you to know, first off here, says, I waited for the Lord, and He said He inclined to me and He heard my cry. You know, I want you to know above anything else, God hears you when you call out to Him. I said, I want you to know more than anything else, when you cry out to God, He hears you. How many know sometimes in the middle of a crisis, in the middle of a hard time, and you cry out and everybody ever pray and it just seemed like your prayers came back and hit you in the face? And you know, but I want you to rest assured that you have a God that's going to hear you. You got to have that hope. Psalms, back up a little bit, Psalms 30, 34, verses 17 through 19, he says this. It says, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. Everybody say, all their troubles. You ever have any troubles? Says he delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit or a crushed spirit. Says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. I don't like that part, do you? But the Lord delivers him out of them all. Delivers us out of all of them, out of everything. You know, we have to have a confidence. We have to have a hope. See, we have to have that assurance inside of us that when I call out to God, He hears me. He hears me. 1 John 5:14 says, and this is the confidence we have towards Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we've asked of Him. How many know that if you're in the middle of something and you have that confidence that you call out to God and you know He hears you, you have that faith that He hears you, how many know that even when it's really bad, it gets bearable? I mean, if you know you got a God that loves you and cares about you and wants to deliver you out of all the troubles, wants to take everything the enemy uses on you and turn it around for your good and use it for your strength, if you know you got a God that cares about you like that, I don't know, you can be in the biggest, horriblest, most horrible pit there is, and there's just something that brings a peace on the inside of you, because my God knows me and He hears me. And He understands me. The truth is, our whole relationship has to hinge on the premise that God hears me and He will answer me. Says it's impossible. Hebrews says it's impossible to please Him without faith. So because we must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of us when we diligently seek Him. You know, I don't know. I wish that I could preach a message and say, you know, you're never going to have any hard times. Things just, you know, aren't. And you know, sometimes if we're not careful, we get to thinking that way. And then we get to thinking that when we're facing something, when we're going through something, that there's something wrong with us. Huh? There's something wrong with us. And if we try to talk to God, he wouldn't listen to me. He couldn't hear me because I know me and there's something wrong with me. Can I tell you a secret? Will you not tell anybody? There is something wrong with you. There's plenty wrong with you. There's plenty wrong with me. If there wasn't plenty wrong with us, we wouldn't have needed Jesus. Huh? But God says, He looks down and He said, oh, Hank, you need Jesus in a big way. You need some help. I usually start turning that around on the enemy when he starts trying to make me feel guilty and start trying to make me feel... I just agree with him. And I just go, yeah, that's right. But you know what? I already traded all my bad for all Jesus' good. And Jesus is good. And so I stand before you now, Father, not because I'm good. I stand before you now, Father, because Jesus was good. You see, my righteousness is like a dirty old rag, but Jesus' righteousness, he's in right standing with you. And through Him, Father, I'm in right standing with you. And the biggest trick the enemy will use on you is to try to snuff that confidence out when you're at your lowest time. You know what? God wants to come in and help you. He wants to come in and deliver you out of your troubles. He wants to come in and do big things in your life. Matter of fact, He says, I'm looking to and fro all across the earth, and I'm just looking for anybody whose heart's towards me so I can do big things in their life. I don't know. I I don't qualify for a lot of things, but when it comes to loving God, I qualify. And I mean, there's a lot of things, Chris, I just can't do right, and I just can't do as good as other people, and there's just a lot of things I can't do, but you know what? I can love my God. Huh? I can go after Him with all my heart. And you know, I'm learning that hey, this really doesn't matter whether I know, whether I see some result or not. I know He hears me. I know He's listening to me. Brings me to my next question. How do you know? Get in your personal life here. How do you know when God hears you? How do you know? You know, so many times we judge and we gear whether He hears us on whether we see the results or whether whatever we're believing for has manifested. I mean, sometimes if we're not careful, we get to, you know, and listen to testimony services. Testimony services, we don't give the testimony until we see the result. But you know, really, when we got to know He hears us is before we see anything. Because you see, faith is the substance of things hoped for, or it's the assurance of the things that we hope for. And it's the evidence, or it's the confidence that we have in God, that we know that we receive what we're believing for and what we're standing for, that we know we believe that, we know we receive that before we see it. See, so many times, you know, we get to, well, thank you, Lord. I was believing for this money, and here it is. Thank you, Lord. You know, and you catch somebody giving a testimony before it manifests, and Christians get all nervous. People get all nervous. What's the confirmation? How do you know that you heard, that He heard you? What's going to be the determining factor for you to believe? You see, I just believe He is. And I believe that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So I know if I seek Him, He rewards me. Because I know He's my God. Get on the page with me here. You know, we talked a lot about Elijah. Maybe we'll do that some more next week. But he's in the cave. We talked about it last week, and he comes to the edge of the cave, and he's trying to find God. He's lost God again, and he's been 40 days in the wilderness. Now he's in this cave by himself, and he steps up to the edge of the cave. Says the wind goes by, but he wasn't in the wind. The earthquake goes by. But he wasn't in the earthquake. The fire goes by, but he wasn't in the fire. And then it says, came the still, small voice. You understand what I'm trying to say? See, Elijah was looking for God, and God wasn't in anything that was going on around him. It wasn't in anything he could see. It wasn't in any physical thing he could see. But when he knew it was God was when he heard the still, small voice. That's what I want for you. I want you to know. How do you know? Because you know because the still small voice. Can I just make a statement? So many times we get so busy looking for what we're believing for that we don't hear what God's telling us to get where we're wanting to be. Do you know that every time you pray, every time you ask God, He'll start answering you? If you're in a mess, He'll start telling you how to get out of the mess. But now if you're like me, I want the wind to blow. I want an earthquake. I want something shaking. I want something happening. And you know, and God does that for us at the beginning. But there comes a time in our life where we got to grow a little bit. where we gotta not go by just by sight. We've got to go by what our spirit tells us inside. Is this okay? See, my faith is the confidence that I have. See, my confidence. I have confidence that the things I hope for are going to come to pass. And I believe that when I talk to God and when He hears me, I believe that He hears me. And I believe that when I do that, it puts those things in motion. And I don't have to see them to know that it's okay. I waited patiently for Him. And He heard me. He heard me. He heard my cry. I don't know about you, but I've cried a whole lot in my life. How about you? Huh? I mean, every once in a while, I just have to get myself over to the side and I say, self, quit being a crybaby. You never have to do that, do you? Now, see, what I'm saying is He'll always give you that confirmation in there. Why? Because you're His child. He cares about you. He loves you. You're important to Him. And every time you ask God for something, what you ought to be doing, what we're trained, what our flesh trains us to do, is when I'm praying, God, get me out of this mess, or God, bless me, I need this money, or God, I need this help in this area, I start looking for the answer instead of listening for the answer. Because every time, I'm learning, every time, when I ask Him if I'll just shut up then and listen. Yeah, that'd be a good I might preach a message on one of these mornings on just shut up. We're usually so busy talking we don't hear God. You're in that mess, He's trying to tell you, why don't you tone down and tune down and start learning to be sensitive to that little small voice inside there and let Him tell you what to do. And then you won't be mad at anybody else when it doesn't happen. You won't be blaming anybody else for your situation. Because you have an inner GPS inside there that'll tell you which direction to go. He'll say, well, quit doing that, or step over here, or call this person, or do this, or do that. You say, well, how do I know it's really Him? Well, try it. If it's not Him, you'll know. Wouldn't He rather you try? I mean, when you're teaching your little kid to walk, and they fall down, are you all upset because they fell down? Or are you happy because they tried? See, if you don't try, you never have a chance of making it. So when I'm at a crossroads and I see something do it and I don't know whether I'm supposed to do it or not, I do it. I mean, make a decision. If you make a decision, at least you got a 50% chance of being right. And if you're not right, if you're wrong, then He'll show you. And you say, well, I don't want to get off track. Well, we're off track all our life, folks. You got that? We're off track. I'm sorry. I know there's a couple of you in here that are real spiritual and you just move and flow with the Spirit. Hey, we're all off track and God's trying to keep us on track. And when you make a misstep, He won't hit you or knock you down. He'll guide you over. You start to fall, He'll put His hand out there to catch you. Because He loves you. Because He cares about you. Says He raised me up out of a horrible pit. I wish it wasn't so. But sometimes in life we find ourselves in a horrible pit. Huh? Sometimes the mire is so... I mean, sometimes, have you ever been in a situation where it just seemed like life was choking the breath out of you? And you didn't know what to do? Well, if you know that if you talk to Him, He'll hear you, you're already on your way. So what you do, what do I do? Well, what if it doesn't change? Well, that's okay. You just sit there and smile. Just sit and smile. Can you know, it's easy to smile when you're on the mountaintop, but can you smile when you're in the valley? Huh? I mean, it's easy to smile when everything's going good, but can you smile when you're in the middle of the mess? You know, this is what I'm learning. The enemy doesn't know everything I think. He's not omnipotent. He didn't know everything everybody thinks and all that. No, if you read the Bible and study it, he shoots these fiery darts. And when we respond to these darts different than Jesus would, then he knows, got him. And I'm learning by the things I say and the things I do, I let him know. I give my position away too often. You want to know how to confuse him? You're in the middle of that. You're hurting. You know, the whole world's caving in on you. Just look and smile. And keep smiling. If you keep smiling long enough, Terry, on the outside, you'll be smiling on the inside pretty soon. Don't give your position away. And you know, it says he raised me up out of that horrible pit. Let me just say something. God is always wants to raise you up. He never wants to knock you down. The Bible says there's, in Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation for those of us that are in Christ Jesus. And I always read that like I wasn't supposed to feel any condemnation. And how many ever tried to not feel condemned? And it seems like when you try to not feel condemned, you feel more condemned. Huh? But then I began to read this through God's eyes, and I found out that what God was saying to me, now I don't know what He's saying to you, but what He was saying to me is, Hank, when I look at you, I have no condemnation towards you. Because you're in Jesus. When I look at you, the blood that He shed was more than enough to take care of any of the little old piddly things that you're failing at. When I look at you, Hank, I don't feel condemnation. So why do you feel condemnation? Evidently, we haven't renewed our minds, huh? When we learn. And I'll be honest with you, you say, well, yeah, but that guilt and stuff, that makes us straighten up. Well, it might make you straighten up for a while, but it doesn't change anything on the inside. When I learn that He's not condemning me, it makes me want to step up a notch. It makes me want to live a little bit closer to Him. It makes me want to try a little bit harder. Huh? Whenever I begin to taste His goodness and His love, it makes me want to be more purified, because when I begin to find out how great He is and how much He cares and loves, it makes me want to get everything out of the between me and Him out of the way. Well, those voices that condemn you aren't coming from God. Those voices that belittle you aren't coming from God. If you want to know how to recognize God's voice, yes, He'll tell you and He'll get stern with you. He does chastise us. And He'll tell me, Hank, don't do that. And I go ahead and do it anyway, and He'll get a little sterner and a little sterner. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about getting over on the side where we're trying to do right, where we're trying to live for God. Not on the side where we're trying to see how much we can get away with. But you want to learn to listen and hear His voice? You start listening to what He really thinks about you. You go through the Old Testament, through Isaiah and some of those prophecies, and see what He says. He says, man, I've got a plan for you. I've got a purpose for you. He said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. In other words, I think more of you than you think of yourself. I think of you. I see your end from your beginning. I see how I'm going to make you and how you're going to end up. I'm not concerned with how you are now. I'm concerned with what you'll let me do in your life. He said, He raised me up. out of that horrible pit. And he raises us up a step at a time. He raises us up a little bit at a time. He's not just interested in getting you out of your trouble. Even though he is, he said, we just read, he'll deliver us from all our troubles. But that's not his main objective. His main objective is to build something in me that the next time I don't get in that time of need, the next time I have victory over that. We're talking about a lifelong process. We're talking about being a work in progress. We're talking about inch by inch. You know, we're in this world where we just want everything to happen fast. I mean, hey, listen, the microwave's even too slow for me now. What used to take 20 minutes to cook, and I can cook it in the microwave in 2 minutes, but 2 minutes is too long. Can't you go any faster and cook it any quicker? Well, you're gonna do it God's way, regardless. And God's interested in taking us a step at a time and building the things into us. See, I want to be more like Him. And I said, God, I want to be more like You. And He said, okay, Hank, you and I are incompatible. And I never change. He's interested in changing us. And you know what I love about this portion of Scripture? I love it. He says, he came down, he'll come down in the pit with you. I mean, he'll just roll up his sleeves and come right down in all the mire with you. He'll just come right down in and snatch you out of that. But he ain't going to stay in that pit. He'll pull you out if you really want to get out. But sometimes we don't want to get out because we're getting so much sympathy and it feels so good. And that's how we've learned to operate. And that's how we've learned to get what we need, is to be in that thing and have this same old whining story all the time and have this same old persona about us. Hey, God says, I want to raise you up out of that, Hank. I don't want you to be that way anymore. Well, the purpose of all the steps aren't so you get to the end of them and then start taking the steps again. Those of you that know about steps. No, the purpose is as you go through the 12 steps, you go through them and you get to the end, and then you go on to the bigger things in God. Go on to what He has for you. Paul said in Hebrews 5, he said, when it was time for you to want to eat meat, said you still wanted milk. When it was time for you to start teaching, you wanted somebody still to teach you. He said, we got to go on from those principles, those basic things. We got to go on into the things that God has for us. I hate to say this. No, I don't hate to say it, but I hated to hear it. But, you know, God would like to not just be having to get you out of a jam all the time. Now, if you're in one, He doesn't mind getting you out of it. He'll raise you up out of that. But man, don't go back and wallow right back in that same old mess. Am I talking to anybody? How many know I'm talking to the ones that didn't come today? He'll come down in that pit, but don't expect Him to stay there. He says, Hank, I'll come down there and get you. But I want something to change in your life. He came down in that pit and got me, and I was strung out on speed, and I was messed up, and He came down in that pit and got me, and He pulled me out, and He said, now I'm going to pull you out. I'm gonna put your feet on a solid rock here. I'm going to pull you out, but you got to cooperate. You can't go back tomorrow and start doing it again. Do you want out or not? Do you want out or not? Do you want out of your mess or not? You want out of your financial mess or not? Well, then quit charging everything that you can't afford. You got to change something. Listen to that small voice in there. He'll tell you how to get out of it. He'll tell you how to get on top. He'll tell you how to be the head, not the tail. He'll tell you how to be the lender. He'll teach you how to be the lender and not the borrower. Do you understand what I'm saying? But the good thing about this, it doesn't matter where in the process you are. Most of the time, I feel like I'm still in the pit. How about you? But He wants to take us from where we are to where He wants us to be. Well, He says, I'll put your feet on a solid rock, Hank. I'll give you some solid footing. And I'll just say this. I say this all the time, but I'll just say it again. If Jesus isn't the center of your life, things won't go right for you. He said, on this rock, I'll build my church, He told Peter. What rock was that? Peter had a revelation knowledge, had something that came from within him, and it said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Something in there told him, and he said, that's the revelation I'm going to build my church on. That's how I'm going to communicate with my kids. And Jesus said, if you hear what I say and do it, you'll be like the wise guy that built his house on the rock. And when all the rains came, didn't say if the rains come, said when they come, your house will stand because you're built on a rock. Huh? Now, I'd rather hear something about him going to do it for me. And I'll just be honest, if he didn't do it for me, I wouldn't be standing here, okay? And he'd do it for you. But every once in a while he says, come on, get up, Hank, and walk. Come on, come to Daddy. Get up and walk. Come to Daddy. Well, you got to let Him build this into you. That's what the Holy Spirit's here for, is to build into us. Peter said it this way. He said that after you've gone through some of these things that you have to go through, he said God will establish you. He'll establish your steps, your goings. He'll perfect you. He'll establish you. He'll strengthen you. He'll settle you. That's in 2 Peter, by the way. Oh, yeah, see, because He takes everything that the enemy does to you and turns it for your strength and your good. If you let Him, if you're called to His purpose, what does that mean? We get all messed up and we try to complicate this thing. His purpose, I don't know. I don't know His purpose half the time. I just know, God, you want me to live for you, I'm going to live for you. You want to be first place in my life, you're going to be first place. I make you first place in my life. Jesus, you're the center of every part of my life. You're my anchor. You're my rock. I'm talking about some solid ground. Some solid ground. You got to get your feet planted. Well, He said He put a new song in my mouth. Glory to God. I was looking up. Some of you young folks that are called the ministry and you're studying all the time, get you a Strong's Concordance. Get you a Vine's Expository Dictionary. Get you some good references, some good books and some good study books, and begin to study. Of course, now you can do just about everything online. But get on there and study. I told a gentleman that this week. I said, man, get on there and find stuff. But there's a thing on your if you got an app, it's called Blue Letter Bible. Just Google it. And you can look up all the words in Greek or Hebrew, and you can look them up, and you can start getting an idea of what's going on. And I said that because I saw that, and it said, put a song in your mouth. And so I said, I want to know what that says in the Hebrew. How many want to know what that says in the Hebrew? In the Hebrew it says, I put a song in your mouth. I made you sing. I put a godly song in your mouth. I put some joy in your heart. I mean, I'm learning, man, that when that song's in there, man, I'll be going through and I'll be singing, I'll be going through and I'll be praising, I'll be going through. When that strength comes, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's your strength. Put a song in your mouth. Put a song in your mouth. I thought about this. I mean, he changes the way you are. He changes your disposition. But you know, we have to do something. I mean, we have to sing the song. I love it in Ephesians. In Ephesians 4 and in Colossians 3, he tells us, he says, put off the old man. Put off all those conversations and that former conduct. Put all that stuff off and put on the new man. You know, somebody listening to me, you're just going to be an old sourpuss all your life until you decide to be happy. I mean, you're just going to be down with that frown on your face all your life if you don't do something about it. Change your disposition. Man, you serve a God. He's a big God. He's got everything. He created everything on this earth for us. He hears you when you talk to Him. There's not anything you can ask Him that He won't hear you. There's not anything that He won't do for you. He wants good for you. He cares about you. Man, that ought to make you smile. I think about being down every once in a while. I used to be down all the time. You wouldn't believe it, man, I fought depression all my life. I mean, I grew up and I had all the reasons I could blame it on. My daddy left when I was third grade. Before he left, I watched him beat my mom. I mean, I had all kinds of things I could blame it on. And I did. I blamed it on all those things all my life. I went through stepdads that were bad. I mean, what do you want to blame it on? You can blame it on, or you can just change it. I know, I'm sorry that you've been through what you've been through. God's sorry you've been through what you've been through. His perfect plan wasn't that all that happened. But I had to, one day, I had to make a decision in my mind. I just had to decide, hold it, I'm not going to be that way anymore. I'm going to be happy. And for a long time, I was smiling on the outside, but I was still frowning on the inside. You heard about that little boy in church? The mama was making him stand up, and he's sitting there, and he don't want to stand up when it's time to stand up. And she says, stand up, and he goes, no. And she says, you stand up. And she'd grab him and said he'd sit back down. She finally grabbed him and said, you stand up, or when we get home, you're going to get the biggest whipping you ever got in your life. So the little boy, he stood up, and he said, I'm standing up on the outside, but on the inside, I'm still sitting down. I think that's the way we get a lot of times, isn't it? Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And inside, we're all undone. Inside, we're all messed up. Inside, that's where He wants to get on the inside of you and help you. He wants to get you out of that horrible mess. He wants to get you out of that. Well, put off all that stuff. Put off all that stuff. He'd like to get you out of position to where you're always in need and get you over on the side to where you could experience some abundant life. Huh? See, we just have to cooperate. And I said, I've been discouraged. I've been a lot of my life I spent depressed or discouraged. And I just decided one day, you know, hold it. Nobody's going to change this but me. I mean, you can tell when you're that way. You walk in a room and everybody leaves. You can tell. When you walk in someplace, does everybody come want to be around you? Or do they want to get away from you? I learned one thing a long time ago. If you're in the middle of a bunch of gossipers, don't be the first one to leave. I'm telling you, He put some joy down inside of you. Huh? He'll put some life in there. Man, He'll give you a reason to live. He'll put some hope in there again. And you don't, it's not having a bunch of stuff. Matter of fact, that's not having anything. Some of the happiest people I know don't have very much. But if you got Jesus, you got it all. Huh? So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I know some people that got a whole bunch and they're miserable. Because we're not designed to live without Jesus. You're not made to live without Jesus as the center of your life in every area of your life. You got an area of your life that's not going right? Make Jesus first in that area. It'll start changing. Well, let's wrap it up here. It says and people will see you and they'll fear and they'll know and they'll trust. How does it say that? Let me see that. It says put your feet on the rock, establish your steps, song in your heart, praise. Okay, says, and many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. I got to looking at that, and you understand that when the Bible talks about fearing God, he's not talking about being afraid of God. He's talking about having reverence, having respect, having honor, showing honor for God. And as I got to studying that out a little bit, I found out that it says many will see you in fear, or many of you will stand in awe when they see your life. I mean, when people begin to see you and they know that you've gone through the same things that they've gone through and that you've been through trials, and they see you with the joy of the Lord anyway, they see something different in you, it says they'll go, wow, what does she have? What does he have? Says that what he says is, he says that we, our lives will astonish people. They will be astonished when they look at us and see the awesomeness of God. And then what it says is, it says, they'll trust, it says they'll see him far, and they will trust in the Lord. You know the bottom line, folks? Bottom line is God wants everybody to be saved. Bottom line is he wants to be big in your life. Our purpose is to bring people to Christ. And we do that by the words we speak, but more than anything else, we do that by the lives we live. And when somebody can look at you and they know you are just as bad as them, they know what you did or they know what you've been through, and they look at you and they see you standing, when they go through it, they can say, I can stand too. If he can go through it, I can get through it. If she can get through it, I can get through it. If God would do it for them, he'll do it for me. And I'll say one other thing here. When you get your focus on seeing people coming to the Lord, your problems will just kind of be little. Your problems will just kind of fade away. When you got your focus on how can I reach somebody, how can I help somebody, how can I touch somebody's life, what can I do to help them, what can I do to touch them, how can I lead them to Christ, how can I show them the way, when that, you're not thinking about your problems anymore, and as soon as you quit thinking about them, they start dissolving. Because that's the only tool the enemy has against us, is to get us thinking wrong. Huh? Get us worshiping him more than we're worshiping God. Huh? I wouldn't worship the devil. Every time you start talking about all that's going on bad in your life, every time you talk about all the bad that's happening, all the anguish and all the stuff, you're worshiping the devil. That's his territory. But when you turn that around, you start talking about what your God's doing and how he's turning all that stuff for you. And I might not see it now, but bless God, it's on the way, because I know my God heard me. I know it looks good and bad now. I don't see a way, but I know there is a way. He's opening doors for me. He's causing things to happen for me. He's got good things in store for me. And I'm walking in his favor today. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter what it feels like. I'm just walking in his favor. Because of him, I can do all things. Well, let me end with a scripture here. It says the Lord, 2 Peter 3, says the Lord's not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but he's long-suffering towards us. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's bottom line, when you can't figure stuff out, when you don't know what's going on, I'll just give you a little secret. If you will start focusing on the lost, you'll find your way out. You'll end up being out of that mess and not even know how you got out. You'll end up with answers that you didn't even know were there. You'll turn around and look and go, wow, I was having a problem with that, and that's not a problem anymore. When you start getting focused on what God's focused on, and he doesn't want anybody to perish. We've got a great opportunity coming up. We could get everybody in this area that's not saved, saved on October the 2nd. If you'll go ask them to come. If you'll get them here. If you get them here, I promise they'll get saved. If you can get them in these doors, I promise God will touch their life. So that's awful big. No, that's not me. Because he doesn't want anybody to perish. Somebody said, well, Hank, you can't get everybody saved. Well, don't tell me that, because I think I can. Huh? I think we can. He doesn't want anybody to perish. He doesn't want that situation you're in now to cause your life to perish. And he doesn't want you to perish and go to hell. You want to get focused on things he's focusing on? Start focusing on the lost. Start focusing on that. And while we're talking about that, if you're here today and you're not saved, look at me. If you're here today and you're not saved, that's why you're here. Huh? If you're here today and you've drifted away from the Lord a little bit, that's why you're here today. I mean, if you're, you know, maybe you know I've been saved, I live for God, I just have drifted, I'm just not where I'm supposed to be, that's why you're here today, so you can just get a fresh start. Huh? He's right here to meet you. All he says is, will you come? So just will you come? Will you come to him today? If you're here and you don't know Jesus, you need to come to him today. Everybody shut your eyes, bow your heads. How many here, if you died right now, you know you're saved and you know you'd go be with God? You're just being honest. You're being honest. Okay, put your hand down. Who here, and don't anybody look, who here doesn't know for sure that you're saved? You're not for sure. Okay, thank you, ma'am. Who else? Thank you, young lady. Thank you, sir. Who else? Come on, who else? Thank you. Thank you, young person. Who else? Who else? Do you want to know today? Do you want to know? I'm going to give you a chance here to find out. And if you don't know, maybe you, some of you, three or four of you raised your hands, some of you didn't. But if you don't know, I'm going to just ask, as when we stand up here, I'm just going to ask that you come down and you let one of us pray with you. Let one of us pray with you. Matter of fact, if you raised your hand, nobody look. If you raised your hand and you want to know that you're right with God and you don't know for sure right now, just stand up right where you are. Did you mean it? You raised your hand. Did you mean it? Nobody's looking. Just stand up. Thank you, sir. Who else? Young person, you going to stand up? Stand up right where you are. Go ahead, stand up. Stand up. Who else? Come on, stand up. Stand up. Hurry. You want to know for sure. We're not trying to embarrass you. Nobody's looking at you. Just stand up. Doesn't matter what anybody thinks. You want to know for sure. Okay, I want somebody to go stand with these that are standing. I want everybody to stand. If you went and stood aside, I want you just to come on down with them right now. Bring them down here. We're going to pray with them. If you raised your hand, just come on down. Come on down. Let us pray with you. Say, I don't really know what to do. Well, don't worry about that. Just come on down. If you're here today and you don't know for sure, this is why you're here. Some have come. What about you? Come on, teenager. Come on down. Tell somebody around you, come on with me. Come down. I want to go see Jesus. Who is it here that you've been saved, but you know you just haven't been on the right path and you want to rededicate? If that's you, come on down. Somebody here, you've been saved and everything, but something's inside of you has been dealing about telling you to get baptized in water. If that's you today, come on down. We got water, we got robes, we got towels, we got somebody to baptize you, if that's you. We're going to sing, let's sing a verse, and if you need to come, come. Some have already come, but you need to come, come on. He loves you. He doesn't want you to walk out of here not knowing today. Doesn't want you to walk out of here not knowing. If you're by your parents, ask them if they'll come down with you. They'll come. If you are saved, just praise Him and worship Him. Thank Him. Thank Him. But if you need to come, you come. Anybody else going to come? And everybody in here, shut your eyes. Bible says that if we'll confess Jesus with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we'll be saved. Goes on and says, with our mouth confession's made and with our heart we believe. He goes on to say, then whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you're here today and you don't know for sure, right now, pray this prayer. And just to help you, we'll all pray it with you. So I want everybody in here to pray it and say this out loud. Father, come on, everybody in here, pray it. There's some in here that don't know and they need to be saved. Father, I want to be saved. Jesus, you died for my sins. I ask you to be my Lord. I ask you to save me. I want to live for you, but I need your help. So thank you for saving me. And I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. See how simple it is? You're going to see somebody this week that doesn't know Jesus. And now you know how to pray with them and how to lead them to Him. Because it's not how you pray, it's the decision they make in their heart. And if you're here and you didn't come down yet and you prayed that prayer, I'd like you just to come down here and tell me that you prayed it. And we've got a little book we'd like to give you that'll help you get on your way with the Lord. Maybe you're here and you just don't want to get out in front of people. That's okay. Just come down here anyway. We'll pray with you because we love you and we want you to be saved. So, hey, I love y'all. You guys have a great rest of the day, a great Labor Day tomorrow. You just enjoy it. And I love you, and I'll be looking forward to seeing you next week.